9, and we're going to finish this chapter up this morning. We're going to be beginning at verse 18, and notice the title of this section is The Sons of Noah, and my sermon title is Noah Has Some Family Issues that he's going to encounter, not only with himself, but also with his family, and we're going to talk about that this morning. So follow along with me as we read together. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father's nakedness. When Noah woke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave to Shem. May God extend the territory of Japheth. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his slave." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Altogether, Noah lived 950 years, and then he died. The word of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit today to be our teacher, to be our guide through this message here today and through these set of Bible verses. Lord, so may you fill me with that Spirit. May these words be yours and never mine. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your church, those who are watching online today, you fill them with that same Spirit, Lord, that you may open their hearts, souls, and minds to your teaching and your ways. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I have a story for you about some paddle boats this morning. There were two paddle boats that left Memphis, Tennessee, about the same time, traveling down the Mississippi River to New Orleans. And as they traveled side by side, if you can about imagine, the sailors from each vessel started to make a few remarks about each other and their pace that they were traveling. And so some words were exchanged, some challenges were made, and the race was on. Now, one ship began to fall behind the other because the ship didn't have enough coal for a race, but had enough coal to get to New Orleans. And so the ship that fell behind, there was one young man who is smart and intelligent, and so he took some of the cargo that they were carrying, and he threw it into the ovens and noticed that it worked just as good as the coal. And by the time they got to New Orleans, the ship that was going to run out of coal won the race. But there's only one problem that they encountered. They burned all the cargo to get there. Now, I want you to think about your family life. As you go through this day today, as we learn about Noah and what he's got going on, what kind of cargo are you carrying? And when I say that, I'm talking about your family, your friends, your spouse, your relatives, extended family, and so on. What kind of cargo are you carrying or will you carry? And maybe you don't have children yet, maybe you're not married yet, but someday you probably will be. But I want you to think about the cargo that you are transporting today in your lives. Your job, our job, is to make sure, with the help of Jesus Christ, that it reaches the right destination. And you know what destination that is? It's heaven, correct? At the end of our lives. And so your job as a parent, as a friend, as a family member, is to do your part. But let me also remind you this morning that you're careful that you don't sacrifice to achieve worldly accomplishments and standards, that you don't use your cargo up along the way. So that's my message for you this morning. And if I could end the sermon there, I would. But I'm not going to. We're going to learn about Noah and his mistakes and what he went through. But I want you to think about it in that perspective today, and the way that you're living your life, and what kind of cargo are you hauling, and where you want it to end up in the end. And by all means, don't burn it up along the way. That's kind of our message here this morning in a nutshell. But let me also remind you this morning that there is no family that is perfect. And if you can find me one, I'd love you to show it to me. And you will not find the perfect family in the world that we live in today. And I don't think you ever will until we get to heaven someday. So we're going to look at this godly family. Because good, God-fearing families even have sin and other difficult issues that arise. And so you might think that on the outside, you might say, boy, that family's got it all together. That family just looks perfect from the outside. But being a pastor, I get to see into a lot of these families, and in the community especially, families are very messy. Families have issues. Families have sinful ways. And that's part of the world that we live in today. And you're going to see a family here, Noah's family specifically, that has some issues as well that we're going to talk about. And so Noah's family is no different than any of ours. We've been talking about Noah now for several weeks, of how great of a godly man he was. But you know what? His sin is no different than our sin. And really what this points to is our need for Jesus Christ, which we'll get into here in a moment. So he has some personal issues, and he has some family issues that he needs to deal with. And so let's dig into that. And Morgan, flip the next slide for me. I want to just start this way so we're all on the same page. Genesis 9, 18 and 19, we understand the three boys of Noah, and all people come from them, correct? And we understand that, we know that. But here I want to drive the point home just a little bit more this morning. We learn about this verse, there's a simple fact that we need to take away, that there is only one human race. There are different skin colors, but there's only one human race. God did not create different races that we are so used to hearing about today in the news or wherever you might see it. Simply and biologically, God created one human race. And we're all the same, children of our God. Right? That's who we are. I don't care what skin color you are. That makes no difference in what we're talking about here today. And it should make no difference in the world that we live in as well. We're all part of the human race. Another question I want you to think about in these first couple verses, and let me just read them to you because there's some things going on in here that you need to understand. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these came all the people of the earth, so on, so on. But here's a question I want you to think about as I read that to you and as I read that this morning. Why is Ham singled out as the father of Canaan? Good thought, right? So hang on to that. Let's kind of look at that this morning. As we read this, we find out about an event that displayed the hearts of Noah's sons. Now, I want you to think about these three sons for a moment. Sadly, we get to see who Ham truly is. We see a picture into his heart and the way that he acts and the things that he does in his life. And Noah seemed to find pleasure in seeing Noah naked. And that was his sin. That was Ham's sin. And we'll talk about Noah's in just a little bit. But how do we know this? Might be a good question that we want to ask about this verse this morning. The Bible says that Ham went to his brothers. And what could have he done to avoid this sinful nature? So let me kind of reframe it for you this morning and put it to you this way. As he went to his brothers, he said to them more or less, you know, Dad, he had too much wine, he's drunk, he's laying there naked. What a fool, right? And so he went to his brothers and said, look at our father, he's such an idiot. But what could have he done? He could have went to his brothers, or even before that, he could have went to his dad and did what his brothers did, and he could have taken the sheet, he could have covered him up, and so other things would not have been a problem. He wouldn't have had to go to his brothers and even explain to them that Dad's got this issue. But he kind of bragged about it and he brought it up. And you could see in his heart that he really didn't care what happened to his father. And yet he goes and spreads the gossip of what happened. Ham was the father of Canaan. And I'm going to go even a little bit deeper for you this morning. And you would not, I'm going to bring some things out in these verses this morning that by reading them, you would not get them. You would not understand what's going on here, but except for the Hebrew brings some of this to light. Ham was the father of Canaan who would give rise to the Canaanites. How many of you heard of the Canaanites? Right? We've heard them in the Bible. They are some of the most wicked people on earth. Canaan, the son of Ham, would be the father of the Canaanites, sinful, wicked people that live upon the earth. They would have also lived in the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were Canaanites. Now you get the picture of who they are. And so let me remind you, as we look at this sinful nature of Ham, the sinful nature of Canaan, and where this all went, often when there's sin in one generation, and if it's not drawn out, or if it's not dealt with, the second generation will be even worse. Last week you read the Ten Commandments, and you get to that commandment where it talks about where those that hate me to the second, third, and fourth generations, right? And that's what God's talking about. Sometimes we can run into generational sin in our families, and we need to call that out. And not in an evil way, but in a graceful way, and say, this has to change. Something needs to be different in the way that I live my life, maybe from the way your parents or grandparents have lived your life. If that sin is there, I pray that you recognize it and that you see it and that you have a desire to do something different with it. Because Ham didn't. And I know you're sitting there this morning thinking, Rob, what are you talking about? How does Canaan become more wicked than his father Ham? And so as families, I want to encourage you to be careful with sin, especially generational sin, whatever that might look like. Be diligent in prayer. Hold on to hope. Trust that God's will be done. And remember by all means that you are carrying precious cargo along the way, in your children and grandchildren. So let's talk about Noah's sin just a little bit. What was the sin that Noah committed? It wasn't being naked, so I just took that one away. What was the sin that Noah committed? He was drunk. He had too much wine. That's the sin that he committed. Now, I don't know why he became drunk. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Maybe he had a hard day. Maybe things are difficult. You know, maybe all the stress of being on the ark for a year and the animals, and maybe that got to him. I'm not sure, but something happened that caused him to sin. The patriarch of the family, he sinned, and it led others into sin right with it. And this is what I like about the Word of God. God doesn't hide anything from us, does he? You look at Noah and the way he walked with God, and he built the ark, and he was loyal to God, and he was obedient, and he was faithful, and did all those things. And then we get the story of how Noah messes up his life as well. And that's so common for you and I too, isn't it? God doesn't hide the messiness of the brokenness of sin that can come into our lives. And here's why he does it. Because he sees and he knows that not only Noah, but that you and I, who are sinful, need Jesus Christ. Noah needs Jesus just as bad as you and I, and vice versa. So we see this story here, that God is pointing to our need for Christ, that God is teaching us here that you need a Savior. You can't earn your way there. I don't care how good you know your Bible, without Jesus, you can't get there. I don't care how good of a person you are and you think you're going to make it without Jesus, you're not going to get there. It doesn't matter. All of us need a Savior to remove the sins that we carry in our lives. And that's what God is trying to teach us here today with the story of Noah. Every good, God-fearing family deals with problems. And you know what that looks like. Now, is there anything wrong with having a glass of beer or a glass of wine? Right? Biblically, can you tell me that you shouldn't have that? Or no. I can find verses that say it's okay to have a little wine, right? I can find verses it's okay to have a beer or so. But if you get drunk and you lose control of yourself and the Spirit of God, this is how I see it as a pastor, that if you can't function under your own authority and you can't function under the power of the Spirit because you're too drunk or you're too high, that's when you cross the line and you now entered into sin. If you want to have a beer, fine. That's not a problem at all. That's not a sin. If you can't control it, if you're an alcoholic and it takes you away from Christ and other issues, then you need to stay away from it because it's not good. So we might find ourselves in different places with that. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God." Meaning, don't lose control of yourself. Right? We've all seen stupid people. I should say drunk people do stupid things. We might see stupid people too, but but you've seen drunk people do stupid things, right? And God says, no, that's not how I want you to live. You're not living under the power of the Spirit at that point. Let me give you the definition of debauchery. That's kind of a big church word, isn't it? Debauchery. What does that mean? And let me just tell you what that means. It means some bad behavior. It can be a sexual behavior. It can be drinking too much alcohol. It can be using drugs. All those types of things are kind of under the definition of debauchery. And God says, stay away from those things. Don't get involved in those things in your life. Debauchery, it is morally and biblically wrong, is what Scripture teaches us. Getting drunk, getting high, is a sin. How many of you follow, I think the state of Minnesota, Dory's from Minnesota, so and she always talks about once in a while how that's a good state, but I think they legalized marijuana this past week. Did I hear that right? Anybody else hear that? Recreational marijuana, that is. No different than Colorado, who I have a son who lives there. And how that changes the culture. But here's what I get, what I don't understand is when people get high for recreational purposes, to me that's a sin. It's no different than getting drunk in God's eyes. Now there's nothing wrong, I believe, with cannabis oil and those that maybe deal with disorders. And it's medicinal, I get that. And that's totally different in my eye. But be careful of the things that you get yourself into. Debauchery is very much prevalent in life. Let me dig into the next slide there, Morgan. Let me dig into a little bit about this part about Ham and Canaan to give you some depth this morning. Because of Noah's sin, Ham saw his nakedness. That's what the Bible says. Now, we know if you were to read that, gazing upon someone else's nakedness is kind of forbidden. You're not supposed to do it. We might simply call that today a form of pornography, correct? To stay away from that, that's not morally good for us. But here's how I want you to look at this in a couple different ways here this morning. If you have your Bible open, you can read along with me, Genesis 9, verse 22. I have 23 on the bottom of the screen. But here's where I want to talk about Ham's sin, and then I'm going to talk about his son Canaan and how this all works together. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. So first off, how should we treat our elders, such as our mothers and fathers? Respect, right? Was Ham respecting his father Noah by going to tell his brothers, "Dad's a drunken fool, we should see him in his tent, it's a mess," right? Was that very respectful? No. So we see a picture of Ham's heart. And I shared with you briefly this morning how Ham could have shown respect. He could have done what his brothers did, and that's in verse 23 on the bottom of your screen. This is what his brothers did. Notice the difference in Ham and his two brothers' hearts. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and I got a picture on there behind them, right? They spread out between them. They faced this way. They had the garment between them, and they walked backwards, and they covered up their father as not to see his nakedness, as a sign of respect for him, as a sign of caring for him, even though they knew that he had sinned. The nakedness was covered. His sinfulness was covered. But instead, Ham went and bragged to his brothers about it. See the difference in the two hearts? Or the three hearts of the people that are involved in this problem? Two are caring, and they do what's morally and biblically right. One isn't, and he does some terrible things. Now, if you have your Bible open, look at verse 24 and 25 with me. Next slide, Morgan. You'll notice that I have it on the screen here too. This is where we get into Canaan a little bit. And you might say, how does this fit in? Because Canaan is a grandson, okay? The oldest son of Ham. And here's how this goes. Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. So that means that somebody told him what had happened to him when he was laying there passed out. Somehow he knew. And then Noah said this, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brothers." Why is he cursing out his grandson if his father, Ham, seen him? Did anybody catch that in the reading today? Yeah. Why is that going on? And here's one of the things I want to share with you this morning. Notice that if we look at that verse, 24, the first one, he knew what his younger son had done to him, right? We would think, well, isn't that Japheth? Isn't he the youngest son? Aren't we talking about Ham, the second-born son? And then we get into Canaan. And here's the difference that you need to know. In the Hebrew, the word son can also mean grandson. So here's what went on. The grandson saw that Noah was naked. And then he went and told his father, Ham, hey, grandpa's got an issue. But then I'm going to go even a little bit deeper with you here this morning. Why did Noah get up and curse Canaan? Now, I can't answer this biblically, but here's what went on. Canaan had done something to his grandfather that was terrible. I don't know what that was. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But Canaan, the grandson, did something to his naked grandfather that we're not told about, and they told him, hey, Canaan did this to you while you were passed out. Noah, who's mad, curses out Canaan, the grandson, and said, what have you done to me? Cursed shall be you, is what went on. Now, if you were to read that just at face value, you'd say, what's going on here, right? Why is he talking about Japheth and Ham, and how does Canaan fit in? And now you know the story of what went on. There was a grandson that was wicked and evil, and his heart was a mess. Sometimes we might have families like that as well. And God says, be careful of the cargo that you're carrying. Take care of it. Keep it on the right path. Don't burn it up. That's what he says to you and I. And then if we were to read on, we know that Abraham blesses his two other sons, Shem and Japheth. And if you were to look at further into the book of Genesis, chapter 12, you'll see that we get into the lineage of Abraham. And Abraham, eventually we get all the lineage of Jesus Christ. And they all come through the line of Shem. Shem is blessed by God. So is Japheth. But the line and lineage of Jesus Christ comes through the son of Noah, and his name is Shem. So here's what I want you to think about this morning as you learn about these two families, or one family, but two different ways of life. Families have decisions to make. They have decisions of whom you will follow, the things you will do, the things you have to be a part of. And you might even have to make decisions about, we can't have this sin in this family. There has to be forgiveness and grace in the midst of all that. There has to be a deep prayer life. How many of you pray for your children? Right? All of us do. And if you don't, I guarantee you, you will someday, because you worry about them, don't you? There's things that are going on that concern you and worry you, and grandparents, I'm not one yet, but I'm assuming you might even pray even harder for your grandkids, for the messiness of life that they find themselves in. And if it's not dealt with, it can lead to some terrible problems, and let alone their final destination as well. Now, you don't get to choose that final destination. We know that God has to work in their hearts and through the Holy Spirit. But you carry a lot of weight. You can pray for them. You can teach them what's right and wrong. Get them into church. Make sure they know who Jesus is. Make sure they know their Bible. All those things can be done by you to take care of your cargo. In chapter 9, we come to the end. Next slide, Morgan. We come to the end of Noah's life. Genesis 28 to chapter 9, 28 and 29. Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years old, and he died. The next couple weeks, we are going to learn about the Tower of Babel. And according to scriptures, if you got your outline this morning, flip it over and you're going to see this timeline of a lot of the patriarchs that lived and how long they lived and stuff like that. But it's pretty sure that Noah would have lived through the Tower of Babel. He would experience that, been a part of that. And we'll learn more about that in the next couple of weeks. Which, by the way, the Tower of Babel is amazingly interesting. You're going to just be blown away by that in the next couple of weeks as we go through that. But here's something I want you to look at this morning. And I have, look in the red box, I want to read this to you. And you might have to read it a couple times to figure it all out. But I want to talk about family generations here. And I want to connect some things about what's going on. Now, Shem eventually will have a son and grandson. Abraham comes into the scene, which we know is the grandfather and so on. And he leads the Israelites and stuff, that God uses him in that way. But here's what I want you to look at. So from Abraham could have spoken to Shem. Shem surely talked with his great-grandfather Methuselah, who was the oldest person in the Bible, who died just before they got on the ark. Remember that, part of that history. Who, in turn, could have spoken with Adam. Are you with me? Clear as mud? Yeah, shake your head if you're with me this morning. Let me read it to you again so you get it, and then we'll tie it all up here. Abraham could have spoken to Shem. Shem surely talked with his great-grandfather Methuselah, who in turn could have spoken with Adam. And here's what I want you to know. That lifespan between Adam and Abraham is 2,300 years, and four men shared all that history. Wow. Isn't that something? So you want to know how biblical history got passed down from generation to generation to generation? So when they sit around the campfire at night, they would have told stories. Not kumbaya, by the way. Isn't that interesting? That Shem would have heard directly from Methuselah, who talked to Adam, the firstborn man, who named all the animals and did all these things. That's pretty cool, I think. Abraham would have heard it as well. And he would have passed it on to the Israelites. Right? I think that's pretty cool about biblical history. And you look at it at that perspective. And how many years at that span. All because they lived lives like Noah, 950 years old. They lived a long time. They experienced a lot of things in their life that they could share with the next generation and the next generation. And it kept right on going. And you and I get to hear that today. And we're so fortunate we got the written word. That's pretty cool, I think. Back to the paddle boat race for just a moment. Remember the cargo you're carrying. And let me ask you this. How are you doing with that cargo? What's it like? Is it in pretty good shape? Is it getting tossed around, beaten up? Is it being cared for? Will it arrive at the right destination? That's my challenge for you this morning as families. And I don't care if you don't have children and you're not married or maybe you're divorced. That doesn't matter because you have in-laws and some might be outlaws. And you have extended nieces and nephews. And see, that's all part of the cargo in my eye. It's your family. It's the neighbor next door. That's your cargo you're carrying. And what you do with it does matter. And how you care for it does matter to God. And so may you take care of your precious cargo this morning. Be blessed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we see Noah's life, how messy it is. And Lord, there's sin even in the best of our families. And we see that there is a need for Jesus Christ. Lord, we can't do this without you. And Lord, so we might sit here today and we might feel pretty good about ourselves. But yet, Lord, we know that when we stand before you that we're not good enough. We're stained. But Lord, you give us a way that we may be washed white and clean and all the sin removed from us. And that's through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may you bless us with his presence today and in the days to come. Lord, may you watch over us as we inspect our cargo this week of how we're doing, Lord. May you give us eyes to see the things we need to change within our own lives or maybe in the lives of our families, that we stay on the right track, Lord, that we're not derailed by sinful things. And Lord, if there are sinful things, may we flee from those. May we get away from those things that draw us away from you in your ways. Lord, may you, I pray for our families today, Lord, as we live in this world. It's a messy place, Lord. Give us the stamina and the strength to carry on. In Jesus I pray, amen.